A belief that behaves, that's James chapter 1. We're getting to the end of the first chapter. And in verses 22 to 25 that we saw last time about being doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So in those verses, James was rebuking those who hear but do not do. And so we were addressing the fact that we need to behave in the difficulty of doing. Now, verses 26 and 27, he addresses those who are doing, and yet without a changed inner life. And I'm calling this behaving in the difficulty of religion. That kind of religion is futile, whereas it should be a faultless religion. You see that in verse 26? If a man seem to be religious, verse 27 is the contrast. Pure religion. So there's a supposed religion and a pure religion. We're going to look at the futile religion in verse 26. You know, when somebody gets converted, people will often say, well, he got religion. And we tend to shy away from that word because it's connected with anything that people believe. And yet, you should have religion. We should have religion. I remember in my junior high and my ninth grade year in Monroe, Nebraska, our high school, this is a town of 260, and our high school was like 100 people, guys who came from farms and so forth, and there was probably 100 of us in elementary through high school. So my class was like 15 people. And one of the guys in my class, his father ran the tavern downtown. And so during lunch break, all the guys would go down to the tavern. And I would never go with them. And they would say, so what's the problem, Dan? Is that against your religion? And I would say, yes. It's against my... Now, can you find anywhere in the Bible where it says, don't go into a tavern? No, but the principle's there. I don't want to be seen going into a tavern, people not knowing what I'm drinking, what I'm doing in there. And why would I go into a tavern, a place that is known for selling alcoholic beverages? So I never went. And I got a lot of being made fun of, even by my friends. Why? Because I had religion. The contrast of the two, verse 26, those who think they are religious, and verse 27, the truth about those who indeed are religious. So let's look this afternoon at verse 26, futile religion. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. That's why I call it a futile religion. We're talking about any man who seems to be religious. And so the man described here has a vain or a futile, a worthless religion because it fails to bring him to the goal for which religion is intended. It's like the spinning wheels of a car in the snow or in the mud. You get nowhere. It's futile. It's worthless. Two things about this futile religion. First of all, his thinking. And the word seem is the key word, or suppose. If anyone, man among you, seem to have religion. Now, what is religion? If you look it up in a dictionary, it's a cause, a principle, or an activity pursued with zeal or conscientious devotion. With that definition, should you have religion? Do you think you are religious? If so, why do you think so? Why do you think you are religious? Well, you say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, you may be a Christian, but get this, you may not be a religious one. You certainly don't want to be known as a religious fanatic, right? Of course, it's okay to be religious about other things. Somebody would say, well, man, when it comes to his, oh, name the thing, you know, your car, or what, he is so religious about keeping it clean or keeping it running well, changing the oil. He is so religious about that. So there you go. You've got that definition where you pursue it with conscientious devotion. And so it's okay to be religious about other things, but for some reason, the things of the Lord, it's not so important. People get up Sunday morning and they get up early and they go jogging. They're religious about their health. Not a conscious hypocrite, but the one who actually thinks he is religious. That's this man's opinion of himself. Ask anyone today if they're religious, and most would probably say, years ago they would have said yes. I don't know what they would say today. But this man seems to think in his own mind that he is religious. So there's his thinking, but then his talking. He bridleth not his tongue. His tongue is like a horse without a bridle, a horse that is uncontrolled. Now, I'm going to take a poll here. I know the Pierces have horses. How many of you, let me just ask it this way, have never ridden on a horse? Raise your hand. Okay, so everybody here, you've all been on a horse. How many of you have ever been on a horse and ridden that horse without that horse having a bridle? One, two, three, four, and then I'm the fifth one. Dave, what was happening? What was going on? Without bridles.
Not normally, but they have a horse named Dusty, and he was pretty tame, pretty good. And so Matt had taken him out in the field. I was riding, I can't remember the other one, but he's like, hey, you want to ride Dusty back to the farm? And Steve was like, just guided by his mane.
Okay, so you guided him by his mane. Who else said? Karen, real quick. Okay, so it's two mains so far. Who was the other? Brad.
Well, sometimes when we're training a horse early, we use just a hackamore.
Okay. Okay. And does anybody know what a hackamore is? Raise your hand. Okay. We had a horse who had what we called hard mouth. In other words, the bridle was of no effect. And so we heard about something called a hackamore, and it's something that you put in it, it controls the nostrils, and when you pull back, it shuts the nostrils, and the horse can't breathe. It stops them in their tracks. Okay. A bridle is intended to control the horse. In fact, you see that in James chapter 3. Such a little thing controls such a huge beast, the bridle in the mouth. But here James is saying, if this man seems to have religion, and yet his tongue isn't bridled, he just says whatever he wants to say, every word comes out, profanity, cursing, and so forth and so on. What does it say about him? He deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. You can seem so religious when you talk about someone else, but when your intent is to sow discord among the brethren, to get people on your side, now your tongue is without control. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19, there's seven things that God hates. But he that soweth discord among the brethren is the seventh abomination. God hates that. You can think one way and talk the opposite. You can think yourself religious and wrongly so. This morning I was reading Proverbs chapter 6, and it says this in verse 12. A naughty person, it means a worthless person, a wicked man walketh with a froward or perverse mouth. Psalm 39:1 says, I will keep my mouth with a bridle. Let me repeat that. Psalm 39:1, I will keep my mouth with a bridle. Have you ever bit your tongue before? Not literally, but when you were getting ready to, Zeke has. you bit your tongue once, okay. But have you ever had to stop what you were saying because, I don't want to say it. You're putting a bridle on your tongue, and that's exactly what it needs. Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Oh, that's true. Obviously, it's in the Bible. Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. In other words, where there's a lot of words, you're not going to lack for committing sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Matthew 12:36-37. Talks about profanity or cursing, taking God's name in vain. Should not be said among a Christian. Deceiveth his own heart. Somebody once said, you do not have a proper religion if you do not have proper speech. When we think of somebody being deceived, we think of someone else deceiving them. No. In this case, this man deceives himself. How many people are this way because their tongue is wagging? They can talk the walk, but they can't walk the talk. We better keep our hearts right. The tongue is evidence of what is in the heart. O generation of vipers, how can ye, Jesus said, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And then maybe you can quote Proverbs 4:23 with me in closing. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I'll add, for out of it is what comes on the tongue. Lord, I pray that we would be religious with our tongues. May we not just seem to be religious, but may we truly have what we're going to see next time in verse 27, the pure religion. May we keep a testimony that speaks well of you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.